If you're listening to the radio broadcast, and if you hear this message, of course you are. Pastor Fearing's not preaching this morning. We have a gentleman by the name of Steve Tucker. And Steve is a traveling missionary. He works in emergency trauma. He does a lot of stuff. And I heard last night or yesterday that he's even a carpenter. So he's got all the things that Jesus did dwelling in him. And Steve is coming this morning to share. And we are just delighted to have him. God bless you, Brother Tucker. I haven't been called that for a long time. But.
I'm going to use that thing.
Okay.
Good morning. I love coming here. I really do. I don't know how many years have been, quite a few years now, that Pastor Dwight asked me to come, and what a blessing it's been from the very first time. We just kind of had a kindred spirit, and I really appreciate coming. I appreciate you opening up your heart to the things of the Lord. It's really good to, especially if you're on a vacation or something, just go visit another church when you're out. I'm not saying do it next Sunday. I'm saying when you're on a trip somewhere, even on your vacation, just stop into another church, and then you're going to really begin to appreciate what you have. Did you hear what I said? You will really begin to appreciate what you have, because the presence of God is here, and it's in, and that's a sweet, that's a precious thing. Sometimes we go to churches and minister, and you just hope that they'll allow the Lord to show up, you know. And so anyways, I just really appreciate this church body, and I love your pastor, and I even love Kirk and Marnie. Praise the Lord. You know, I've been challenging my friends, and I do this almost every night. I wish I could say I do it every night, but I don't. But I challenge them and myself, Lord, speak to me when I go to sleep at night. Speak to me while I sleep. Allow me to wake with your presence. Allow me to hear your voice. Give me dreams or visions. Give me words of knowledge. And this morning when I woke up, it took me a long time to get to sleep last night. There was music playing in the background. But when I finally did get to sleep and I woke this morning, this song came on my heart automatically. But the words were a little different. It's, heal my heart, Lord. And I begin to just, that just repetition in my spirit is constantly. So I told Louie, I said, get that song on the radio or on his phone. And he got it up, and I texted Kirk. I said, do you know this song by David Crowder? Can you play it this morning? He says, it's my fifth song today. So the Lord is speaking this morning already before we even got up. Amen? And what a joy. My family sends greetings. Some of you know them. And my wife had been praying for this weekend. We've been praying together all week for God to just have his way. My father sends greeting. I think he's coming in a couple weeks. April 9th, my dad, Dad Tucker. He's a real blessing. He is finishing strong. He's 82 years old, still rides his Harley with us, travels the world literally, preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a fortunate opportunity to have been raised in a Christian home. I didn't always appreciate that. In fact, there was a time in my life I absolutely hated it and wanted nothing to do with the gospel, wanted nothing to do with the call of God on my life. I tried to run 180 degrees the other way. But as Kirk was speaking this morning, how God pursues us, it just broke my heart again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for chasing me down and giving me a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. He's a God, I use this term this weekend, I've never used it before, but God is the ultimate scrapper. He is the one who can recycle us time and time again. And every time he does, he creates something more awesome, more beautiful, because we come before him more broken. Amen. And it's just awesome what God does. And it's nothing in ourselves. And if you don't know that, just ask your spouse. I've been praying about the men's retreat and what to share, and I asked the Lord to give me something different for the church, but it's kind of hard not to because the men go to the church here, you know. But one thing the Lord really spoke to me was your situation that you're going through is really relative to your perception. And what that basically means in South Dakota terms is the way you perceive your life or the things that you're going through are really related to how you perceive yourself through the eyes of God. And if we listen to the false lies, if we listen to the voice of the enemy, if we listen to the radio, to the TV, especially to the media, you know how much you can trust that. You know, it's going to really warp your perception on what's going on around you. And I deal with life and death, not on a daily basis, but sometimes, at least on a weekly basis, somebody's either dying or close to dying or dead when they get to us. And sometimes we bring them back to life, and sometimes we don't. And we got a letter, a complaint letter from somebody one time and said, you could die in that place. Well, no kidding. It's a hospital. It's like, wow, revelation. And that's a sad fact of life, is that you will die. I just want to let you know that. If you think that you're going to live forever, our bodies are some mechanical and a lot supernatural, but they do wear out. Amen? God has created in us the most fantastic hydraulic system, the most phenomenal electrical system, the most awesome structural system, but it does wear out. But one thing remains is that as long as our spirit man stays alive, we can pursue, we can persevere, and we can keep on going. Amen? When I was a little boy, this is not even my sermon, this is just an appetizer. So when I was a little boy, I went to the hospital on visitation with my dad. And that, how many know that's part of ministry? I've told my kids this their whole life when we were traveling full time, that 95% of ministry is not on the platform. We are all ministers. We can all minister to one another, amen? And I used to go to hospital visitation when I was a little boy with my dad, and we'd go in and pray for people, and I was 3, 4, 5 years old, and he would grab my hand, and he would put it on people's bodies, and we'd begin to pray. And he wanted me to experience firsthand the laying on of hands, experience firsthand what it meant to minister to people, to pray with people. And we walked into a man. I can remember there was a smell in the room, and it wasn't, you know, body odor or you know, feces or anything. It was just a smell, and I'll never forget that smell. It was a smell of death. The guy was just full of cancer, and he was an old pastor, and my dad went in there, and he talking to my dad, and he said, Brother Tucker, he said, as long as you see my little finger wiggle, I'm still praising the Lord. You know, and we have that ability. We can change the perception of what's going on in our life and our situations by how we view the Father and how we view and how we allow His presence to come into our life. I've shared this story here before. 3 years ago, I had an overdose come into the ER in the middle of the night. And he was unconscious. He wasn't dead yet. He still did have a heartbeat. But he was totally out. We were getting ready to intubate him, and I walked around the foot of the bed and going to get some medication or something. I put my hand on his foot, and I simply said, Jesus. How many know when you don't know what else to say, when you don't know what else to pray, if you just proclaim the name of Jesus? The Bible says that demons tremble. They flee. Amen? And I put my hand on his foot, and I said, the name of Jesus. And he sat right up. And he said, are you praying for me? And I said, yes. And that boy walked out of that hospital the next day. We had a guy that came in fifth time as an overdose just 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night. And unconscious, found dead at the scene. They rolled him over. They shot Narcan into his nose. Did chest compressions. By the time they got to us, he was beating on his own heartbeat, breathing on his own. And he finally came around, and we gave him multiple doses of anti-narcotic drugs, anti-opiate drugs, and anti-barbiturate drugs. And he finally became alert and orientated for the most part. And his dad came in a couple hours later, and I could hear his dad talking to him. And he said, I'm sick and tired of you doing this. He says, your mom and I cannot do this anymore. This is the fourth time we found you dead, and we can't do it. I don't want you in our house anymore. He said, we love you too much to keep doing this. And he walked out of his room, and the other people in the hospital, in the ER, said, man, that's rough. That's mean. But how many are thankful for tough love? My dad did that to me. My dad did that to me. And that's one of the reasons I'm here today. And I remember walking back in that room, and I told that guy, I said, there's only one source that I know in the natural that can help you, but I know there's another source that can help you. And I told him about the Lord, and I told him about a place called Teen Challenge. And I don't know if you're familiar with Teen Challenge here. I literally took the building and converted it, changed the put in a kitchen and put in bedrooms, and me and another guy, I was a contractor for many years, we converted this building in Duluth. And so my brother worked there for them. And one of the young men that was in treatment while I was there working on that facility, that was back in, probably 2005, 2006. He was a drug addict. They gave him no hope. He came through it. He sustained. In fact, he wanted help so bad, he stayed longer. He is now the pastor, full-time pastor of a well-established, on-fire, spirit-filled church in Duluth, Minnesota. Amen. And Dwight is familiar with this church. So there's power in the name of Jesus. It's all in their perception. Your situation is all in the perception of what you allow the Lord to do in your life. When I woke up this morning, I do have a message, by the way. But when I woke up this morning, I was just asking the Lord for some fresh rhema, for some fresh word. And John 10:10 came to mind. And it says, the thief does not come except to steal. I have never heard of a thief who didn't want to steal your best from you. He's not going to come through your house and take your plastic and your paper plates. He's not going to come into your home and take that old 8-track. Well, he might, because that might be valuable now. I don't know. But he's not, maybe cassettes. He's not going to come take that stuff that you've got down in the boxes, down in the basement that nobody really wants to look at. You put it there because you really don't want to throw it away yet, but you know it's nobody ever going to want. He doesn't come for that stuff, does he? He comes for your fine china, for your gold, your silver, your cash, whatever the most valuable thing that he can sell quick and make something out of, your guns, your ammunition. He comes for your very best, doesn't he? I've never heard of a murderer who didn't plan on killing your very best, who didn't pursue to want to murder and destroy your life the easiest, fastest, quickest way he can. I've never heard of a vandal who didn't want to come to your home and destroy it. He's not going to come with new paint and paintbrushes and paint a mural on your home and fix your place up. He comes to destroy it. And I want to let you know that the enemy is out there with devices right now trying to entice our life, trying to entice us and draw us into things that do not matter, making it look good on the outside. But his sole purpose is to destroy your life, destroy your family, and destroy who you are in Christ. It's why it's so important that we need to be keep in tune, keep our spirit man alive. It's so important that we pray in the Spirit, amen, that we call upon the powers of the Holy Spirit. We should be going to sleep at night and say, Holy Spirit, speak to me, so that when I get up in the morning, I can be in tune with you. When our feet hit the ground, we should be saying, thank you, Jesus, that I'm among the land of the living, that today is a new day. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can't do anything with yesterday, but we can do something with today, and we for sure can do with something for tomorrow. Amen? So I said all that to say this. God has prepared for us, each and every one of us, not just me, not just Pastor Dwight, not just Brother Stan, not just a few select. He's prepared for each and every one of us on a gifting and an anointing and a deposit he wants to put into us. Some of us may carry the exact same anointing, and some of us may be on opposite ends of the spectrum. But we all need to be unified and used by the body of Christ and be available when he calls us forth. Amen? I was thinking about a good analogy of how I could relate to this. We were talking about fishing this weekend a little bit. Some of the guys were bragging. And how many, there's a real fine line between lying and bragging. They were talking about catching and releasing. And the Lord just put this in my spirit this morning as I was just kind of going through notes and asking the Lord for some fresh word. And I shared it with the guys this morning. And when we're asking the Lord to deposit his presence in our life, listen to me now. We cannot have a catch-and-release mentality. I'm not talking about, Lord, use me to release your giftings from my... I'm talking about catching something that he wants to give to us and then just like, I don't need it. We want all that he has for us on Sunday morning, but as soon as we get back Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't need that anymore. I can make it on my own. And this is an analogy that I thought you could relate to because they're in your church. Now, Kirk, you've been working on your house how many years? 9.5. 9.5. And we had the privilege of going there yesterday and seeing how beautiful it is and how much work he's put into it and Marnie. And I know it's been a sacrifice in some ways living in the basement. But how would you feel, Kirk, if you put the last 9.5 years of your life working on that house and you did it really to bless your family, you did it to better yourselves, and you poured your heart and soul into it and your finances, which I think you did, right? And then what if tomorrow morning Marnie says, you know what, I don't want this place anymore, let's go. It would be hard. So let me ask you something. Do you think it breaks a father's heart when he pursues you and he pours his effort into cleaning you up? He puts his love, he gives his son, he goes after you, even though, like Kirk said, he doesn't have to. And he puts his anointing in your life. And he says, you know what? You have a gift to sing. You have a gift to serve. You have a gift to repair and rebuild. You have a gift to preach. You have a gift to prophesy. You have a gift of words of knowledge. You have a gift of healing. And he opens doors and opportunities for you, and you say, it feels great on Sunday. But then you leave, and you put it on a shelf. You never do anything with it, or you just say, you know what, I don't want nothing to do with that. I don't need this because it's going to require something from me. Exercise and work for the things that you have, right? So why should it be any different when God puts his anointing in our lives? We can't just put them on the shelf. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands. You know, if God is going to go out of his way to give you a word of prophecy and begin to put his spirit within you and his anointing within your life, why not utilize that? Amen? Because the Bible says that Jesus is prophecy, is the words of prophecy. Amen? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He says this. He says in John 14, 12. In fact, let's just go there. If you have your Bible or your iPod or iPhone, and if you don't, then you're just going to have to believe me. John 14:12, he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me," do we believe in him? Yes. Thank you for those four yeses. "I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Who's the he's talking about? Yeah. Us. "And greater works," not lesser works, greater works, more awesome works, more powerful works, amen? Amen. "Than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Why does he go to his Father? He says he went so the Helper would come. Who's the Helper? The Holy Spirit. And if you believe that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, amen, and gives life to your mortal body, then you have to believe that same Spirit dwells within you to do greater works than he did. Amen. That's not me talking. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of prophecy. Jesus said those words. He doesn't want us to put on the shelf to look at the gifts and anointings like they're just a trophy that we won back in high school. He wants us to use those things. He wants to dust them off. Some of you, you know that what I'm talking about right now, because in your spirit, man, you go, "Oh, man, I remember the time that I got a word of God from somebody. Or I remember the time that the Lord prompted with me to do something and I did nothing with it." You know who I'm talking to. You know I'm talking to you. But God wants you to dust those things off, amen? He wants you to bring those things forth. And how do you do that? You say, "Lord, I surrender all." And we sang that song this morning, "Hear my heart, Lord." Where is your heart? Jesus said these words, "Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is also." So now I'm going to get to my sermon. Is that okay? So I was praying 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever it was, and this is the word the Lord gave me. He says, "Where is your heart? Where is your heart?" And I know that in this church alone, there's been two people that's had heart disease, heart surgery, heart trouble. And we had a conversation the other day. We had a young man die, not really a friend of our families, but an acquaintance. And my wife went to the funeral. I couldn't go. And the pastor of this denominational church stood up and said, "It's God's will that he died." And I tell you what, it broke our hearts. Because there were hundreds of children at that funeral. Can I share your testimony, Dave? When Dave was a small boy, his dad died, got killed in a car accident. And so people came to him and they said, "It's God's will that your dad died." I'm here to tell you, it's not God's will. It's not God's will to take us. It's not God's will that we suffer. It's circumstances that cause things to happen. Sometimes our poor decisions, unfortunately. Sometimes it's somebody else's poor decision. But because that person told Dave that, it scarred him. He wanted nothing to do with God. In fact, he hated God. He did everything he could to avoid God. because somebody spoke a lie. I'm here to speak truth this morning. Jesus does not come to kill, steal, and destroy. He comes to bring life and life more abundantly. Proverbs 4:23, and I have to quote this to myself all the time because I do not want to get bitter. I get sick and tired of the drug addicts and the same people coming who are entitled to stuff all the time. I get tired of that. I lived on the mission field for years, and everybody just wants. And if you're not careful, it will succumb your life, and it'll change your thinking, and it's not the mind of Christ. So what I have to do is I quote this scripture to myself all the time. It says in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. For from it flows the wellsprings of life. What does that really mean? Do not get bitter. Do not get hard. Do not let the circumstances around you alter how you feel or how you, not your feelings, how you pursue the things of God. Your emotions will rob you. I'm telling you that. Your emotions will rob you. David says this in Psalms 119:11, Lord, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119:37, he says, turn my eyes or turn my heart from looking at worthless things. Why did he do that? Because he knew in the flesh he could be sucked into that stuff. But we need to guard our heart above all else so we do not become complacent, that we do not become hard, that we do not become bitter, that we do not become, well, I don't really need that. I'm going to put these giftings and these anointings on the shelf for another time, for another season. That's basically what the children of Israel did when they were wandering through the wilderness. I really believe that if they would have listened to the voice of the Lord, they could have been in the promised land in a week or so. But because of all their carrying on and bitterness and hardness of their hearts and messing around, chasing after false idols, after things that are on TV, all the advertisements, the things of this earth that don't matter. I'm not saying we're not able to have those things and God doesn't want us to have fun. He does. Why would he bless us with this stuff? But it should not become our life. It should not become what we pursue. Amen? We should be pursuing the things of God. If God gives you something, man, hang on to it loosely because God may be giving it to you so you can bless someone else who really needs it. Above all else, guard your heart. I believe that God is deposited within each and every one of us. And I think I'm going to make a statement here, and I'll justify it in a moment, that God is the one who gives you your giftings and your anointings, and God is the one who can take it away. Now, I know Paul wrote in Romans, it says that all giftings and anointings of the Lord are irrevocable, okay? But let me bring you back to the Old Testament for just a moment. There was a man by the name of Saul, and the Bible says that he wasn't God's first choice, but the children of Israel wanted a king so bad, so God anointed him and put his anointing on his life, and he became king of Israel. How many remember the story? You can read about it in 1 and 2 Samuel. And if you read in 2 Samuel, I'm going to get down the line here. Samuel was actually mourning. He was brokenhearted because Saul had rejected the things of God. He went to the witch of Endor. He made sacrifices without waiting for the prophet Samuel. He did all these things on his own. How many know that God requires an order? Yes. He requires us to honor and respect the giftings and anointings he's given us. How many realize that?
Yes, sir.
And so, but Saul did not do that. He did his own thing. And if you read it, I think it's the Second Samuel chapter 16. Maybe you can check me out on that, Pastor. The Lord literally asked Samuel, he says, how long are you going to mourn for this guy? How long are you going to mourn for Saul? He said, knock it off. pick up your flask of anointing oil, for I have chosen another, and go anoint him. You see, if we choose to disregard the giftings and anointings that the Lord has given us, I believe that he will look for someone else who is willing to use that for his glory. Are you one of those who want to take the risk and say, oh man, is the Lord going to pass me by? Just like the children of Israel, they wandered through the wilderness forever, it seemed like. And what happened? Most of them didn't even get there. I don't know about you, but I do not. 1 Samuel, thank you. That's why it's good to have a Bible scholar in your congregation. I'm not. I'm just a preacher. I always tell people, never trust the man. Always trust the word. I don't want the Lord to bypass me because I'm not a willing open vessel. I don't want the Lord to bypass you because he has so much for your life. If you turn to Ezekiel, wrong era of the Bible. This is what the Lord was telling the children of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 36 and 26. He says, I will give you an old worn out heart. Is that what it says? What's it say? A rebuilt? A remanufactured? A 90-day warranty? A new heart, right? He will give you a new heart and put what? Someone else's anointing? Someone else's spirit? No. What's it say? A new spirit within you. And then what does he say he's going to do? He's going to take away the stone heart that we have. I wanted to see if you guys are reading the same thing I'm reading. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's part of that pursuing. You see, when we open up our heart to the Lord, when we totally surrender all, praise God, how many are thankful that you've surrendered all? And if you haven't quite yet attained, Paul said he hadn't attained either. It's okay. But we're all in a process together, amen? We're still in the surrendering stage. That's okay. God can work with that, amen? So, and when we begin to surrender our life to him, he says, I will pursue you. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. How many are thankful that God did not leave you where you were, but he's bringing you someplace new, amen? I'm so thankful that I'm not the same man that I was when I first married my wife. She has changed me over the last 30 years. Actually, God has. And he's used her to do it sometimes. This week was a week of just really seeking the Lord. We're trying to make some changes in our lives. I haven't been overseas for 4 years. My family really needed me home. And so I have been home for 4 solid years. In February of 2013, I spent the whole month of February in South America in the jungle ministering. I was gone for five and a half weeks, and I came home, and I've been working in the ER ever since. I was a building contractor, and I've been a registered nurse for over 20 years, and I worked in trauma surgery, recovery, worked on the floor, and I also worked in the ER. So I've got kind of a vast experience of blood and guts type stuff, and I don't really enjoy it. But for some reason, that's where the Lord's put me in. And it's been useful in the mission field. I'll just say that much. But how many know it's not by power or my might, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. But because of that, the Lord has also actually been able to use me, and I've been able to see things and things happen in people's lives, and I've seen the miraculous happen. I long for that again. So my wife and I have been praying the Lord, if you could open up the doors for us to be able to allow us to start to travel and minister again as His will is. So we were really praying this week, and my wife reminded me of a scripture that the Lord gave me about 5 years ago now. I preached at a missions conference, and it's found, I shared it with a gentleman this weekend about how important it is. It doesn't matter what you do in life, and you can go everywhere in the world and preach the gospel, but if you're losing your own household, it's nothing. It's like Jesus said, you can, what good is it to a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul, you know? And so if you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it says that by faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, being divinely warned, he moved with godly fear and built the ark for the saving of his household. I came home and stayed home and worked at home because my family needed me. Praise God, we have a better relationship now. My wife reminded me this week, we have a better relationship than we've ever had with our kids. And God is moving. Every one of them is serving the Lord. They're in ministry of some sorts, and God's just using them, and I thank the Lord, and I give Him all the praise and the honor and the glory. But they are part of our heritage, amen? Our children are heritage of the Lord, and we, as fathers and mothers, have to be finely tuned when we pull back that bow. We want to shoot them in the correct direction, amen? And sometimes they waver, sometimes they falter, but we have to believe what the Word of the Lord says. It says that, my Word shall not return void. It will prosper what you want to prosper in. It'll accomplish what you want it to accomplish. Amen. We have to believe what it says in Isaiah 59 and verse 21 that says that the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit, is my covenant with you, says the Lord, that my words that I've put in your mouth and my Spirit which I've put into your life shall not depart from you, nor your kids, nor your grandkids from this day and forevermore. That's what we have to believe. And so we've been praying, and my wife just reminded me of that. So we're looking forward to this next year of seeing what doors God opens for us to begin to travel and minister again as His will is, whether it's in the States or overseas, we don't know. I'm a homebody. I would just as soon stay home, to be honest with you. But I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about what the Lord wants. But God wants to give us a new heart this morning. He wants to do physical surgery on us, and He wants to do spiritual surgery on us. And I'm telling you, when God does the work, there is no post-surgical infections. How many want the Spirit of the Lord in you? How many want the Lord to pursue you? Now, don't say that if you don't mean it. Because it's going to come. The Bible says that we were bought at a price. And it's going to cost us something. Sometimes we have to give up things. It's called our flesh. Sometimes we have to step outside our box, step outside our zone, step outside the comfortable things that we're in. But if you really are hungry and thirsty for the things of righteousness, really hungry and thirsty for the things of God, I guarantee you, it's the best guarantee you're going to get all day, the guarantee you that you cannot outdo the things of God. He will fill you up to overflowing so that out of you shall flow rivers of living water. I am still believing for the day that I walk through a Walmart or a gas station or something, and just the presence of God will ooze out of me, and that person standing there will be healed. I'm asking the Lord to give me that kind of boldness. I need that kind of boldness. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of power and a sound mind. Now, I'm not saying you should just walk up to every stranger and just start blah, 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 and start beating them over the head with the scripture. No. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And if you want to be used by God, then you need to pray, Lord, use me today. Put me in the path of people, Lord, that are open, receptive, willing, and needing a touch from you today. And I guarantee it'll happen. About 8-9 years ago, my wife and I were preaching in a small church. I don't remember. I just like to share testimonies. I love testimonies. Anybody else like testimonies? They edify the body of Christ. They let us realize that we're real people, and we let people, each other know that God's working in our lives. Amen. And I was preaching in a church, and this lady come walking in. And if I already shared this story, I apologize, but it's that good. Okay, it's a rerun. So she comes walking in this church, and she just had this angry, sour look on her face, and it was almost intimidating. You know, because I'm having a good time preaching, and she comes in, and I had a hard time not looking at her. But then all of a sudden, the Lord began to give me compassion for her. Is that cool or what? You know, and Brother Dave had compassion, nailed him last night, and it was awesome. The Lord gives you that. Do you know that? That's one of the giftings that the Lord wants to deposit in people's lives is compassion. And so the Lord began to give me compassion for her. And I said, Lord, help me not to have to pray for her. Help her not to come up, because I know, Lord, she's going to be a full of baggage. And when she didn't come, I felt really guilty. So I went to the pastor of the church. I said, what can you tell me about this woman? And I said, oh, she comes from a really rough life. She's had a rough go of it. She's had close family members in her family die, and she still comes, but she's so bitter. He says she drives from a long ways too, but she still comes. And the Lord says, I want you to bless her. Well, that usually means he wants me to, you know, open up my wallet. And so I went to the pastor and I said, find out how much gas she has in her car. And so he said, well, she has enough to get home. I said, well, have her follow us over to the gas station. And she drove some, like, 80s model Oldsmobile, some great big boat, you know, that probably gets, you know, 4 blocks to the gallon or something, you know. And she pulled up to the gas station and said, I want to put gas in your car. Why? I mean, my kids are looking through the window like this, you know, they're fogging it up, and they're watching me through the window of the Suburban, and they're just watching to see what Dad's going to do. And so I said, put gas in. I said, Lord wants to bless you with some gas. So she put $5 in. I said, well, how far will that get you? And I don't remember what she said. Not very far. I said, I think you need to put some more gas in. So she stopped at $10. I said, no, fill your car up. I want you to fill your car. And the third time she hit that nozzle, she began to weep. She just began to cry. And my wife got out of the vehicle, and we began to pray over here right there in the gas station parking lot. As we're filling her car with gas, the Holy Spirit was filling her life. She needed that. See, that doesn't really take anything miraculous, but Jesus ministered to people in the natural too. You know that? And he's called us to do that. He wants to change our heart from a heart of stone and put a new spirit and a new heart of flesh within us so that we can beat with the heart of God, that we can think with the mind of Christ, that we can move in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He wants to fill us up with his anointing, not so that we just hold on to it, that we can share it. But he's not going to do that if all you're going to do is like catch it and release it and do nothing with it. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 that we need to walk worthy of the calling that he's put in our life. And I wish I could stand here before you and say I've always done that, but I haven't. But I'm thankful for a God of second chances, third chances, a God that's continuing to recycle my life. Proverbs 4:23, do you remember what that said? Above all else, guard your heart. For out of it flow the wellsprings of life. Proverbs also says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who eat of it love it. Listen, let's choose life. Amen. Let's speak life. We don't have to get mushy. We can just be real. We can be real with the love of Jesus Christ. We should not just hold on to things. We should allow the Holy Spirit. You know what? This is another dumb thing that I do, but I always carry giveaway money in my pocket. And sometimes it's more than others. And sometimes the Lord will just lay it on my heart just to, you know, pay for somebody's meal. I love to do that. If you travel with me very much, we go on motorcycle trips all the time. I love to be the guy that gets the bill. Why? Not because I'm rich, no, but I want to be blessed, man. I just love to see a smile on people's faces. Sometimes we'll go into restaurants, and I'll tell the waitress, I'll just say, let me have their bill over there. And watch people's expression. They freak out. They just, why would you do that? I said, you know, I just want to bless you, man. What's that mean? I just want you to have a great day. I want you to just to, you know, I said, God loves you and he loves your life and he wants the best for you. You know what? They can't reject that at that point. How many know that? Especially if you pay their tip. They just, and then sometimes I'll be in a restaurant and there'll be a new waitress and she's all flustered and, you know, doesn't know what to do. And I'll just say, you know what? How do you think you did today? Oh, I think I did terrible. I said, why? Oh, it's my first day. I said, you know, I think you did really good. In fact, I think you deserve a bigger tip today because you stuck with it. And, you know, you just see the joy on their face. They don't know, but you know what? We're planting seeds in their life. You realize that? You're planting seeds. How many know that God has given you what you have? He gives you your money. He gives you the job that you have. He gives you the strength to go to work. He gives you the opportunities, man. So why not share some of that? Amen? Allow the Lord just to speak and minister through you the ways that you're doing. And as you begin to do that, it's going to become more easier, and he's going to begin to deposit more into your life. How many know that he says if you're faithful with the little, he's going to bless you and allow you to be faithful with the much. But if you can't handle the little things, how's he going to trust you with the bigger things? Come on, that just makes sense, right? You wouldn't give your 15-year-old kid when he first gets his license or 16, whatever it is, you wouldn't give him your $50,000 truck and say, just go do what you want, would you? I mean, in our house, we never had a $50,000 truck. But anyways, we give them the lesser vehicle, and we see how they maintain that. I taught all my kids, my girls, how to change your oil, how to change your tires, how to check things, because I want them to have a knowledge base, amen? And I want them to see, make sure they're going to take care of that before we help them get something better. And that's the same with the Lord does. He loves us. He's our spiritual father. He's Abba Father, amen? He wants us to be diligent with the things that he's given us, so might start small. But we can all do that, right? We can all share what the Lord has blessed us with. So I just want to encourage you today. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to remove that old heart. Remove that old heart. Let him begin to fill you with his presence. He will pursue you and create within you the mighty man, the mighty woman of God that he wants you to be. I want to close with my favorite family verse. It says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future.